I didn't really motorcycle much this summer. But then my car got repossessed. So now I've been motorcycling a lot.
If I die on this bike, I need one of you to take care of my cat. Okay. No, really, I was out there just to get a lift in. And I got rained on. So that is the potential trouble of being a motorcyclist, is that you never know when it might rain.
As I was driving to Ironman, Wisconsin, or at least was prepping for that trip, my car got repossessed the Monday prior. My wetsuit was in there, my buoyancy shorts, my goggles, even my bike rack, and I had a race coming up that following Saturday. If you know anything about my journey with Ironman, I have been prepping to succeed with this race for 15 months now. In May of 2024, I took my very first swim lesson, and I didn't realize how long it would take me to become adequate with swimming and biking. I ultimately DNF'd it 3 times, and returning to Madison this last weekend was going to be my 4th attempt. And yet my car, with all of my fancy gear, perfect for triathlon, was taken away from me the Monday prior. You know, in life, there actually really is no wrong answer, except for being a fucking bitch. And the decision was already made a year and a half ago when I signed up for the Ironman 73 for the very first time. I made a decision that I would finish that race. There's not a lot of Indian guys in America who do these races and show up to them and crush them. And it had been an arc that I'd gone on. So the morning prior to the race, I asked my dad if he would go down to the lot and see if he could recover my gear. And he said he had to make an appointment with them. And I said, just do everything you can. Like, this race is tomorrow. Like, get me through the door. Thankfully, my dad begged them and he was able to recover the gear and was gracious enough to let me borrow his car with no notice. So I shoved my bike in there. Bike rack be damned. But I made it down there. And in fact, because I started driving at 12:40 p.m., I made it to athlete check-in 15 minutes late. This is insane. This is the night before the race. Ironman 73 distance event. Gonna be a 6-7 hour day. And I had not eaten all day. All I had eaten that morning was 3 eggs. Then I drove 4.5 hours to show up to athlete check-in 15 minutes late. But they saw the conviction in my eyes and they let me in. And then the next morning, though underfueled, though underready, I showed up and I crushed it. And I learned everything I needed to about my life that weekend. There's no barriers in life if you make a decision. It's so often that we see these barriers holding us back. They break down before our will, but only if we're 100% committed to a vision. These things happen all the time. If you're willing to like go to jail for the result you want, if you're willing to say the tickets are sold out, but let me show up anyway, if you decide this is how it's going to be, then things will happen. The universe will coincide to execute your will. I suppose that's the will of God, really, to make good things happen for those who refuse to take no for an answer. That's the story of my Ironman, and in this video, I want to talk about what happens when you lock in. Everything changes when you fully lock in. Napoleon Hill once called this a definite chief aim, and it's the biggest thing I've seen between success with me and my coaching clients. Those who are completely committed to a vision, completely committed, they're destined to get tremendous results. Those who hesitate get nothing at all. You've got to be 100% committed and not change your plan at all. For a while there, I thought maybe I should stop putting intro sequences on my YouTube videos, because I feel now perhaps it's inefficient for the YouTube algorithm. You know what I came to realize though? Intro sequences are a huge part of who I am. The cinematic flair, the cinematic touch to a piece of content, it makes me me. Chasing goals outside of YouTube is a huge part of what makes me me.
This is what the first 3 hours of my day, every single day, look like now. Salesforce study and listening to the Jason Bourne soundtrack.
So this is the part of the video where I want to give you an assignment. September 1 was just 10 days ago, at least at the time of this recording. September to September, I want you to decide what the next year of your life is going to look like. Genuinely, how much money are you going to make? How are you going to proceed with fitness? What are your major goals in 3 or 4 big avenues of your life? How's the whole thing going to look? And once you've decided, commit to a plan. The plan doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't matter the details of the plan at all. All that matters is that you stick to the rules that you set for yourself. When I first started out with YouTube, the reason I got to any level of success at all is because I made a decision to make 2 videos a week. Why 2 videos a week? I don't know. It's just a decision I made. It was completely arbitrary. But me sticking to that perfectly arbitrary vision got me tremendous results in that season of my life. Commit yourself to one vision, one way of being. It can have multiple parts to it, but once you decide how the next year is going to be, do not deviate from it. Consider all the good and bad luck you've had in your life. We talk about this a lot. Scott Galloway talked about this in his book, The Algebra of Wealth. He said, sometimes the market is with you. Even though you're not perfect, you end up getting very decent results because the market is with you. You're flowing with the tide. And there's seasons of your life where the market is not with you. Things are harder. But ultimately, things always balance out. This YouTuber that I watched a lot back in the day, Brandon Carter, he talked about how major companies, big stocks like Sony, they don't get too phased by the market going up and down. There might be ups and downs in the micro, but on a long enough timeline, the trajectory is consistently upwards. And so the people who are professionals, the people who get the best results in their lives, they keep doing the work and they keep doing the work to a full capacity no matter what's going down. It's a universe of cause and effect after all. Any moment of hesitation shows up as a ripple of weakness in the universe, and it's a ripple that begins to punish you. You've got to decide what you want from your life and not hesitate from it. For my own part, this week I decided that I would retake the Salesforce Data Architect exam. If any of you watched my last video, you would know that a recruiter from Texas had reached out to me for an architect level position. It's a qualification and a position that I'm not fully ready for right now. It's something that was on my trajectory to be ready for 1 year from now. But in these last 6 months, when I've been executing on my job search, I made a decision that anytime a recruiter reached out to me and they are looking for a particular set of qualifications, I would do everything in my power to get those qualifications, even if it meant getting it after the fact. So I haven't heard from this position in Texas in like a week's time. More than likely, I didn't get it. I knew that what I could possibly do to be ready for the next time someone comes to me with an architect level position is get these three certs: data architect, sharing and visibility designer, and then application architect. So I'm retaking the exam. And once again, I'm taking it again tomorrow. In fact, ever since I got back from Ironman weekend, I've been studying for that exam first thing every day for the first 3 hours of my day, like 8 to 11 a.m. every single day. I've been prepping for that exam. A technical architect position makes 300 grand a year, especially if you start your own consultancy. And I will have that money. I'll use that money to invest in my film without needing a handout from anyone. That's the vision. And that's powerful. Every day you don't commit 100%, you don't do all that you're capable of, that's just bad luck building up. It's honestly why I'm recording this video now and why it's been the third week in a row that I'm consistent on YouTube, because it's a rule I set for myself that I'd go weekly for the next 1 year time. And I know to not upload now, to not upload this week, no matter what, would be to pull bad luck into my vision. And that's something that I will not have. Which brings me to the second idea of the video. There's a lag on who you are. Who you are today is not a result of how you are today. It's a result of who you've been for the last 1.5 years. The lag runs deep. Numerous books talk about this: The Compound Effect, The Slight Edge, The One Thing by Gary Keller. This universe that we occupy, it is the greatest game of pretend. You have to pretend to be a thing before you are it. Like, fully pretend. Like, the pretending has to be so real that you might as well be the thing. It's just that externally, these results have not played out. But you need to fully be this thing. And then probably about a year and a half later, you'll be it for real. You've got to role play this thing that you want. You've got to embody its space. And then you'll get the chance to watch it all play out in real time. I want to be an Ironman all-world athlete, which means I have to be about 3 hours faster than my current time. I finished in 7 hours and 29 minutes. Effectively, I was finishing with the grandmas. It's fucking embarrassing, dude. But what can I say? I only ate like 1,500 calories the day before the race, so I was just like under-fueled, dog. I was just so hungry and tired. And in fact, during the swim portion of the race, I found myself crying in the middle of the water. Every time I looked down into that lake, I saw myself dying. I saw myself drowning, and I saw like things not working out between me and my girlfriend. Really just not having any respect or success in my life, like no results at all. So I was just getting these panic attacks in the water the whole time. So I was just crying. I would stop to like hold on to a kayak and just try to calm myself down, just like tears in my eyes. And the volunteers were like, kind of like really worried about me. They were like, "Hey, where are you from?" They were trying to calm me down. I was like, "Shut the fuck up. I don't want to talk to you." It was totally ridiculous. I was getting laughed by these old ladies. But I know that in endurance, one does not need any talent. I choose today to act like an all-world athlete. Then 3 days out from the race, after my morning study, I took off and I ran 7 miles. But there's an enormous lag on who you are and who you're going to be. I never underestimate anyone now. If I see someone out there on YouTube uploading consistently, giving it all they got, putting a dedicated thumbnail on every video, like trying really hard, I don't doubt that person, even if they've got 3,000 subscribers, because I know it's only a matter of time. YouTube isn't like Hollywood. Anyone can take this space because only 0.1% of creators actually take the job seriously. They show up consistently, they do the work, they show up every time. If you're curious on what it means to be a professional YouTuber, I'd invite you to check out the first link in the description. It's a link to my mastermind, which I've been running for 3 years now, that help people bring out their best selves on social media. Embody the inner space of who you want to be and watch it all play out over the course of a year. Because I want to be an all-world athlete, I chose to run today. And when I put in that time on the run, no one could tell you that I'm someone who DNF'd three times. In fact, when I was out on that course this last Saturday, you can't see all my failures on my body. In that moment, I just looked like a guy wearing the wetsuit, getting the work done, just as good as anyone else. This brings me to the final idea of the video. There's no other way to be happy. There's no way to be happy just going to the park and getting an ice cream with your girlfriend. I gotta be honest, man, every time I get an ice cream for the sake of the ice cream, to spend time with those I love, I just feel sick to my stomach. I just feel like this enormous dread. Because I'm like, why am I getting an ice cream, man? I should be working hard. Now, it's different if I put in mad hours of work that week, you know? Like, I really pushed for my goals that week, and I tried extremely hard. Then it actually reads a little bit differently. But to enjoy a Saturday without really having worked hard, that dread is there. I said this to a subscriber once, and a client of mine, but basically, to be a man means to work as hard as you can and to be chased up by a metaphorical wolf against the clock your whole day until 9 o'clock. Maybe at 9, if you did your day's work, you get to have a little bit of rest and a little bit of peace. And you're fighting for that 1, 2, 3 hours of peace at 9 o'clock by working as hard as you can all day. But if you don't work as hard as you possibly can, do all the things you're supposed to do within the allotted time, you will be full of dread. Happiness is working as hard as you possibly can while getting enough rest to recover from the work. That's it. More than ever, I'm beginning to realize that there's like a trajectory unfolding with your life. If anyone's played like Super Mario Galaxy from back in the day, you would know that there's a version of the game where you can play where it's Mario and Shadow Mario running at the same time. And Shadow Mario, he's like your arch nemesis on the map. And he like plays the map pretty close to perfect. And you're chasing Shadow Mario the whole time because he actually represents your potential. And that's effectively what it means to live life, really. At least that's the way I feel. I'm chasing Shadow Mario. I'm chasing this version of perfection, ultimately. And when you lock in, you might just catch that guy. That's all for this week. Greatness is coming, and we'll catch you in the next one.